And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, I'll take it.
How many of them brewskis do you have for Tennessee's big signing day here, Shane?
Not that much. Had to work today, got to work tomorrow, so I had to slow it down a little bit. It did get a little interesting there when I didn't see all the letter of intents, but we're all good now, Mike. We are good.
Well, that's the thing, Shane. I heard a lot of people complaining today. You know, it's just not the same because of the early signing period and there's no drama. I'm not buying into any of that BS, Shane. There's plenty of drama all across the SEC. But before we get into that action, Shane, I got to ask you this. And for anyone that's not seen the photo, we'll post it on our Reddit page, which is That SEC Podcast on Reddit. But you see this Miami punter that the Hurricanes got?
Yeah.
For anyone that's not seen this guy is tatted up from like his head to toes. He's got those big loop earrings. He looks like he's about 38 years old, and he looks like he's coming off death row. This is the most intimidating punter I think I've ever seen in my life.
I love it, man. Do you remember that when they made a big deal of, what's his name? Sean, the kid from Baylor.
Oh, Sean Oakman. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have that, you know, going to be out there with the punter. And, I can feel the memes coming already, brother. Cause this guy is ginormous.
Yeah. I mean, growing up, Shane, the most intimidating kicker punter that I can remember was Sebastian Janikowski. It looks like this guy could wreck about six Janikowskis, while he's on his way out of the bar.
Absolutely. Well, you see what happens as soon as Mark Richt gets out of there? They bring them all in, Mike.
All right, Shane, let's get into the SEC action. And, of course, we just had the National Signing Day, so there are some teams we're going to hit on here. So other teams, they basically had their classes filled, so I thought the most interesting way to kind of do this particular episode, I'm just going to list out, you know, my winners and losers, and then we'll touch base on each of these programs. And then, Shane, you just chime in whenever you want once we get through the team by team here. But my big winner of National Signing Day, now keep in mind, because I threw this out there on Twitter, and some people were coming at me because I have Arkansas as my number one loser. And, you know, the Razorback fans are pissed off saying, how in the hell can you say we're a loser when we just went 2-10, we got a top 25 class? I'm not trying to downgrade the entire class. I'm saying just Wednesday, just National Signing Day, how the things went. These are my winners and losers just for National Signing Day. I got number one winner, Ole Miss, Shane. And I'll tell you why. Because they kept Jerrion Ealy, the five-star running back, at home, and they kept him away from Clemson. They kept him away from Alabama. Anytime Ole Miss gets a player of this caliber to stay home, play for the in-state school, I just think it's huge for the Rebels.
Absolutely, man. This was a big get. And when, I mean, there was a little bit of people talking right before, you know, the signing here that there's a chance that he'll go with Ole Miss. But I didn't think he had a shot, man. I mean, it seemed like he was all but done with Ole Miss. So the fact he went there, it surprised me. And, dude, they're building a nice little thing, man. Coach Luke's, I bet he's on cloud nine right now.
Yeah, and then I like this pickup, you know, for obvious reasons. But then once I started to hear what he had to say, why he picked the Rebels, we're going to play this clip. This is Jerrion Ealy on why he turned down, he doesn't mention Clemson, but it's pretty clear he's talking about Clemson here. He turned down Alabama. And here's Jerrion Ealy on why he wanted to be an Ole Miss Rebel.
I'm relieved, though. I mean, it's been a long process. It's been a hard process. So it's over with now, and I'm a Rebel. At first, I didn't want to stay. at first, I'm not even, I'm going to tell the truth to you. I didn't want to stay. I didn't really see in, like, being in Mississippi anymore. But then some things changed, and I wanted to be, wanted to bring a national championship to the state of Mississippi. So I don't want to join a program. I want to start something new. I want to start my own legacy by going far away and going to a national, a team that has that recently won a national championship. I mean, you just like every other 5- and 4-star recruit out there. So, I mean, I just want to start my own new wave.
I think this is the most impressive thing that I heard all day, Shane. I mean, this guy, yeah, people are going to laugh at him. People are going to mock him. But he wants to bring a championship to Oxford. And what more could you ask for a new player coming into your program?
Dude, I love this. I absolutely. The guy wants to be, I don't know, not just a number, it feels like. And that's what some of these teams have become, Alabama's and Clemson's and somewhat even Georgia's. You know, it's just they don't rebuild, they reload, you know. So he wants to be part of something, so I commend that. And, calling that he's going to win a national championship, that's a tall glass of water there. But I love the attitude.
Yeah, and just look at it like this, Shane. I mean, I'm not trying to downgrade any of the Alabama running backs because most of them are special. Most of them go on to the NFL, and a lot of them have success there in Tuscaloosa, and they're solid players who, you know, are always well-respected in Tuscaloosa. But, you know, is a guy like Derrick Henry, is he more loved than Mark Ingram? Or right. Can go on and on down the list. Now, if Ely, let's say not even win the national championship because that's such a huge thing, but if they were to somehow win the SEC, I mean, hell, Shane, they may have a damn statue of this guy outside the stadium. So it, I like what he's saying. He's just trying to be a Mississippi man and stay in state. So I always tend to like these stories a little bit more than just, like you said, just going with the crowd.
Absolutely. Just like using Georgia as an example. I mean, they've got five guys in the NFL right now. Gurley got a lot of praise and stuff. But, I mean, if you go to a team like Ole Miss, you're the guy. I mean, people are still talking about Darren McFadden in Arkansas. You know, he's God's gift to football if you ask some of them. So that's the kind of attitude you want from that alpha dog, you know. So I'm happy for him.
And it wasn't just Ely for the Rebels, Shane. Early in the morning, their first big news that they got for Ole Miss there, Jonathan Mingo, who was already committed to Ole Miss, but he's one of the top players in Mississippi. I believe he was an Under Armour All-American. He announced he was sticking to his commitment. So anytime Ole Miss wins a recruiting battle against Mississippi State and Georgia, those are, you know, the two big suitors there for Mingo. That's huge. Ladarius Cox, 3-star defensive lineman from Alabama who played in the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game. This is a guy that was committed to Tennessee for, I think, almost a year. And there at the end, he's going to Ole Miss. They made him a little bit more of a priority than in Knoxville. You know, a lot of people say Tennessee may not want him that bad, but hell, Shane, if you're going to Ole Miss, you're still a hell of a player. And Auburn was also in the thick of that, so you're talking Auburn, Tennessee, Ole Miss. I mean, this is a quality player, so that's another big win for Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. And then another big one that I like, Shane, Lakia Henry, the nation's number one junior college linebacker. Most expected him to go to Arkansas, but Ole Miss gets the late flip. So we're seeing both sides of the ball. You know, clearly Ole Miss has got holes on each side here, and they're just picking up some nice players, and I think just about all these players are going to be impact players for the Rebels, particularly in 2019.
Oh, man, and no restrictions. No, I mean, they got all their scholarships. I mean, this is the first time that they actually had a chance to recruit, and I like it, man. As down as I've been on Coach Luke, this is a step. This is how you keep your job right here. You start with recruiting, and if you can build some of that talent around your team, I think he's – he may be onto something here. I like the staff, so I may have pulled the trigger a little too soon on Ole Miss.
All right, Shane, I know who you haven't pulled the trigger on too soon, and that's my number two winner of National Signing Day, Tennessee, Shane. They only officially added two guys, but it was a big two, Shane. It was the highest-ranked offensive player that was uncommitted, the highest-ranked defensive player that was uncommitted. I mean, that's incredible that Tennessee, coming off a 5-7 season, can add players like that. And, of course, I'm speaking of Darnell Wright, the 5-star offensive lineman. Shane can breathe easy. West Virginia and their 10 coaches probably sat at that press conference. He announced on ESPN that he was coming to Tennessee. Most people expected that, but one that even you, Shane, you were doubting us so much as a week ago, and I cautioned you not to. Henry To'oto'o from Northern California, the big, and not only is this big, Shane, they got him over Alabama. How excited were you for these? And I know you were kind of feeling pretty good about Darnell Wright, but To'oto'o, I mean, how surprised were you when he did pick Tennessee over Alabama?
I was a little worried. I mean, you're always worried, especially when you're Tennessee, because like you said, there's been hats flung, there's been shirts ripped off, and it's usually a tee laying in the floor. So I was nervous, man, and it was great to see Wright. And after listening to him talk, I could see why he's not big on social media, because, you know, he didn't have a lot to say. Henry, man, that one right there, I was nervous, dude. I thought for sure he was going to go to Alabama. And then when he went to, I mean, he like drug out his little speech and stuff, man, my heart's racing. I'm like, are we going to get this guy or not, you know? And then he gets that hat out, and it was a smoky gray that threw me off because we really haven't been using it much. And I'm like, shit, it's a dark hat, you know, there we go. And then it had the beautiful orange tee on it. And I'm like, oh, all right. But then I still hesitated. I was like, is he going to fling it? Is everybody looking, you know, like he's about to do something? So I was happy about that. So I'm with you, man. I think that was – we only got – well, didn't we get a safety too?
Well, they got a cornerback, but it's still not official. And at that, that's the one – I don't know if we've spoken about him on this podcast. I know I've spoken to you off the air about him, but he is going to be officially a member of the 2020 class. I think he's still going to be on the team for 2019. Basically, this is, you know, the definition of the blue shirt like we were talking about earlier. On a previous podcast, but what will happen there is I believe he will delay his enrollment to either, you know, summer, which is early June-ish, or he'll come in when they have fall camp. So he will still be on the team for 2019, but I don't think they have room to add him at this point, particularly with Jeremy Pruitt in his National Signing Day press conference late on Wednesday. He announced that D'Angelo Gibbs and Aubrey Solomon, they may be eligible in 2019. And if that's the case, they may need to count them as 2019 guys. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Oh, baby. Things are looking up, Mike. What did we end up, 13th?
I think Tennessee finished number 11th in the nation, number 6 in the SEC. So it's not bad when you go 5-7. Yeah. And I'll tell you, obviously, one team on that campus, you know, we don't get into basketball a whole lot here, but Pruitt drug it into it. So this was during Tennessee's National Signing Day celebration there in Knoxville. Old Jeremy Pruitt, he mentioned the basketball team. I thought this was pretty interesting. He did mention it in his official press conference, but he didn't go quite this far as he went during the celebration.
I said it a while ago. I'm telling you, when you walk in a home, okay, and you're looking on the TV and our basketball team's kicking somebody's ass, okay? All right. It makes it a little bit easier to sell the University of Tennessee. That's important.
All right, Shane. I mean, I guess this makes a ton of sense, but I just never really thought of it. Old Rick Barnes' program helping Jeremy Pruitt on the recruiting trail. And, you know, I mean, that's, I guess, what just what good coaches do. I mean, they sell whatever they can, even if it's the damn basketball program.
Heck yeah, man. I'll tell you what, they're on fire right now. So that's use the tool, man. Like you said, if you can find it, you know, seems like our games start later and later because we get pushed off by Michigan State games and stuff like that. But, yeah, it's a selling tool. So take advantage of it.
All right, Shane, final thing I got on the balls before we move on. I just wanted to throw this little nugget out. The tight ends coach, Brian Niedermeyer, he won the 24/7 Sports Recruiter of the Year. He was instrumental in getting Darnell Wright and Henry To'oto'o and Kovaris Crouch. I don't believe he had anything to do with Wanya Morris, but hell, Shane, I mean, those three alone are pretty special. And then you add T. Martin and Jeremy Pruitt. So Tennessee now has three coaches on their 10-man staff that have won this National Recruiter of the Year. And that's got to make Tennessee fans feel really good about the future there of recruiting.
Absolutely, man. Pruitt won at 13. So in the last 7 years, these guys have held the number one spot. So, yeah, you got to like that. You got to like the way we've ended. And if we, you know, as a Tennessee fan, I feel like if we put a decent product on the field this year, then that, you know, that's only going to get better. It's only going to get easier for them. So I'm liking the direction, Mike.
All right, Shane, let's go to my number three National Signing Day winner, and that's Alabama. Alabama pulled a somewhat of a coup here, Shane. They reached into Louisiana, got Ishmael Saucier, the four-star defensive lineman, the number one rated lineman in Louisiana. And I had a bad feeling about this one for LSU fans, Shane, as soon as he made his commitment there on ESPN. But, you know, it's kind of like you noted with that To'o announcement. They kind of drag it out. They kind of, you know, they have so many things to say before they actually say what people are there to hear. But he was just noting how this was a business decision and it was nothing personal. And I was like, oh, my God, he's going to do it to LSU fans again. He's picking Alabama, and that's what he did. So, you know, LSU didn't have a bad day, but this kind of spoils it because when these two meet, Shane, it's always the line of scrimmage that wins. And once again, Alabama reaches in, pulls a guy that Ed Orgeron and LSU have wanted for 3 or 4 years now. How tough is this for the Tigers to lose once again to Alabama?
Dude, another one. I mean, I was watching them all day. And when Ishmael got up there, you know, you're looking. I'm looking for the family. I'm like, they got any red on? They got any, you know, purple and gold on? You know, I'm looking for something, just a little hint. But like you said, the when he started talking, the more he talked, I'm like, oh, my God, he's not going to LSU. And I was like, and that one surprised me. I thought for sure, I mean, I'd put $100 on this that, you know, he was definitely going to stick with LSU. But this was a big get. And the timing of it all, you know, I'm wondering, let me ask you, Mike. We're just spitballing. I'm a conspiracy theorist. So, you know, they really wanted Henry Tioto. Okay. Mm-hmm. They liked the kid. But Bama has like 27 like people on there. I mean, I think they're full. And do you think that this was hinged anyway on Ishmael signing or not? I like if he would have went with LSU, do you think Saban would have got on the phone and said, hey, we got that spot for you. You don't have the blue shirt or something like that?
I think there's a really good chance, Shane, because I mean, I don't know. Like you said, I don't know the dynamics down there. I don't know the conversations they were having, but I would anticipate that maybe they didn't see getting all these guys, and now that they did, they may have had to make a decision. So, but I mean, it's wild to think that we're talking two top 50 players and they're having to decide between one or the other. But it's because they got so many damn others of the top 50 already. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's an Alabama problem that nobody else has. But I think you might be onto something there.
Okay. Like I said, I'm always thinking of the angles, Mike.
Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't just Saucier for Alabama there. They held on to Killian Robinson, a really fast running back. You know, Alabama, they're basically running back U junior, or at least running back U of the SEC West, so that was big. Brian Young, who had been flirting with LSU and I think maybe Auburn, a couple others in the SEC West, so they hang on to that one. And then I had to include this one because – while he signed last year, you know, we touched on him in the last podcast here, Anoma, the guy that had entered the transfer portal, when Nick Saban came on for ESPN, you know, his little media availability here, he noted that Anoma, I talked to Anoma, he's back in the boat. Let's play this clip here from Nick Saban. It sounds like he did not appreciate having to be bothered by this guy's transfer talk.
Well, you know, that particular player is in, and we had a conversation, and now he's out.
So that was sweet, short and sweet, Shane. That, I imagine that's how a lot of Nick Saban's conversations are when he's upset. He had to be upset when he found out the nation's number four player was considering a transfer. Saban did his damn magic on him, and he's back out of the portal. So what are your thoughts on that?
And Mamaw got slightly a bigger house. I knew it, man. I mean, I told you, I said, just because they're in the portal doesn't mean they're going to stay there. You got one of the greatest recruiters of all time sitting right there. So, you know, I'm sure he had a spiel. He, you know, there was something he pitched him or something. You know, I mean, he just re-recruited him again. So I'm not surprised he's sticking around. But I will tell you, if the year doesn't go exactly like Anoma would like, I don't be surprised if we see something like this again next year.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. All right, Shane, let's jump to my number four winner, and that's LSU. So LSU could have easily jumped into that top three had they got Solskjaer, but man, that was just a tough blow. But while LSU missed out there, I mean, they basically raided Kentucky, Shane. They landed Jay Ward, four-star defensive back. He was anticipated to go Kentucky, and LSU came in there and swung in the late and stole one of Kentucky's top prospects. They landed, from what I understand, Ray Parker, four-star offensive lineman. They did not think he was going to qualify. They got, you know, a late notification that he is going to qualify, so that was a little added bonus. Maurice Hampton, the number one player in the state of Tennessee, a guy that Florida, Tennessee, Ole Miss, I mean, all these schools wanted. He's been committed for 3 years, basically. I don't know why he's not signed yet, but he waited till today. He finally put pen to paper. Devonta Lee, he was on ESPN, announced his commitment to LSU. So overall, still a very good day there for LSU and the Tigers, but I know I just dock them a little bit for losing the linemen, because mm-hmm. that's when we see when LSU loses these games, when they lost to Florida, when they lost to Alabama. I mean, it's this line of scrimmage that comes back and haunt them. And not to say LSU is not going to be good on the line of scrimmage just because of one guy, but they just really need to build that depth up, and you just can't let the number one player at that position in your state get away and let him go to a division rival.
Oh, yeah. Coach O ain't getting a lot of sleep tonight, man. He's going to toss and turn and wonder what he could have done to get him here. And, I mean, Ishmael, was he a loss? Absolutely. But, you know, they still came away with a pretty good class. And if they would have got Ishmael, I would probably say that they would have been, I'd say, the number one winner today, you know. So, mm-hmm. You know, it hurts, but I think what they did get, they got a lot of talent down there, Mike. I really love this wide receiver they got. I mean, you talk about a stud. This guy may be playing, you know, game one next year.
Yeah, and they still, I believe they finished with the number four recruiting class in the nation, so definitely not doom and gloom. No need to hit the panic button. So I don't want to dock LSU too much. They're still clearly going in the right direction there under Ed Orgeron. Mm-hmm. Okay, my number five winner in the SEC, Shane. A lot of winners today. Florida. They only picked up two big guys here that I really liked, but Chris Bogle, the four-star linebacker. You know, a lot of people had him slotted as a defensive end outside linebacker. It looks like the Florida Gators are going to try him out at middle linebacker. That's big because he was thought, well, obviously he was an Alabama commit, announced his commitment to Alabama during the All-American Bowl, and the big lure for him was Miami and Manny Diaz. So it's big anytime Florida can get one over on Miami. You know, they're obviously open against the Hurricanes, and there's already bad blood going. So it's really good for an offensive head coach and Dan Mullen to beat a defensive coach, Manny Diaz. And then Kair Elam, four-star cornerback, Georgia, you know, making that late pull. They stole his position, coach. And how about this, Shane? Both of these guys, the cornerback and the linebacker, both the position coaches there at Florida left that would have been their key recruiters all year, and Dan Mullen still finds a way to get them to Gainesville. I think Dan Mullen is starting to turn the narrative a little bit that he can't recruit. Everyone knows I'm a Florida hater, apparently, but I think Florida, with such a great year that they had, I'm really surprised they didn't have a top five class. I think they're going to end with the number 10 class in the nation. Still outstanding, Shane, but when you're looking up at number one Alabama, you're looking up at number two Georgia, that gap is still significant. So Florida, while they're doing really well on the recruiting trail under Dan Mullen so far, better than I anticipated, they still need to step it up. And that's not to say that they won't, but I think this was a solid day for them.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. I thought like you said, with the season they had, I thought they would be a little bit better. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Dan had the rug pulled out from under. I mean, you got to remember, these coaches weren't just talking to these kids last week. They've been talking to them all year long. And the fact that they leave and he's still able to bring in Chris and Kair, I just think that's huge. And that speaks volumes to the direction that Florida's in right now. So I don't know, man. You know, a couple more pieces, a couple good seasons. You know, Florida's right in the mix, man.
All right, Shane, my number six winner, Georgia Bulldogs. They pulled off what I thought was the stunner of the day.
Yeah.
I do believe, Shane, you asked me if there's one team that can pull off a stunning move. I believe I did say Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I kind of saw this coming. I got to give myself a little credit, but I didn't see it coming at all, so I'm going to give myself no credit. But George Pickens, Shane, the five-star receiver, a lot of people thought maybe Tennessee would swoop in. A lot of people thought LSU was in his ear. And instead of sticking to his commitment of several years, he announces Georgia is the team. How stunned were you when you heard George Pickens to Georgia?
This was the first one I watched all day, Mike. You know, and I'm like, okay, baby, put that tee on. And then he got that black hat out, and I was like, Georgia? You know, I thought it was an Auburn hat at first, and I was like, Georgia? And then I was like, I didn't even know he was, like, interested in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And then it was funny because I'm listening to our podcast on the way home, and when I asked the question, who you think's going to have the biggest upset, you said Georgia. And you even made mention, you probably don't remember it, but you even talked about Pickens being interested in Georgia lately. So I'm listening to this. I'm like, man, I'm on the show with Nostradamus, you know? This guy knows everything. So that really shocked me. You know, of course, then I'm heavily involved with Vol Twitter, and they all think George is paying their players down there. So you can imagine what I was seeing and reading. So I think that helicopter recruiting is really paying off, Mike.
And I don't have audio for this, Shane, so I'm just going to read this quote. But this is from George Pickens after he announced his decision. He was asked, why Georgia? And I don't know, this kind of just stuck out to me, but here's what he had to say. I just felt like it was the right spot for me. I always knew if I didn't go to Auburn, I'd go to Georgia. I don't know, that just is always weird to me when a guy is committed. Like I said, he was committed since 2016, I think. So
yeah.
I'm not really sure why he had so locked in on Georgia, but you can't go wrong with it. You know, the Bulldogs lost a ton of receivers. You know, they got a solid quarterback there, solid offensive line. So he could potentially plug in and play. He could be their number one receiver next year. I think he's that good. So that was huge for the Georgia Bulldogs. And the other big one, Shane, not as big, but still a good get here, Brent Seether. He's the three-star tight end. And while some people may roll their eyes at anyone landing a three-star tight end, his other finalist was Alabama. So, you know, regardless of how he's ranked, if Georgia and Alabama are fighting over this guy on National Signing Day, that tells me he's probably a hell of a tight end. Yeah. So that was a good get there for Georgia over Alabama.
Yeah, no, and just think, man, we were just a couple of weeks ago just talking about how bare they are at the wide receiver spot, and now we're like, man, they're blessed, Mike. You know, they really do reload. So I don't think there's too many upset Georgia fans right now.
All right, Shane, and then my final winner here, and, you know, it comes with a little asterisk because they did lose George Pickens there, but Auburn, I thought they had a pretty good day, Shane. They landed Charles Moore, four-star defensive lineman. I thought that was not a huge surprise, but still a really good pickup for him. They reached into Florida and got Mark Anthony Richards, who a lot of people really think he is a Kerryon Johnson type back, so a very complete back, very explosive back. That's obviously something that Auburn could really use. They landed an offensive lineman and Kareer Bell. They landed a linebacker, Octavius Brothers, and then they landed the brother of Derrick Brown, Cameron Brown. So bunch of additions there. Some of those guys maybe a little bit not going to expect it to make an impact in 2019, but, you know, to get a two near All-American type players, you just can't look down on that. But it just really would have been a lot better class here for Auburn if they got George Pickens, kind of like LSU losing out on Sauscher. But
mm-hmm.
One guy does not make a class. I've never been a big fan of that theory. So at the end of the day, some solid players here for Auburn. And then I also wanted to mention South Carolina quickly. I didn't quite put them in my winners category because I think both of these guys kind of expected. And I'm not trying to downgrade them, but I'm not sure. They're both four stars, but they didn't have a lot of really high-profile offers. So sometimes I wonder how much of that is maybe they really are four stars. I don't know. Again, I'm not trying to downgrade them, but South Carolina did land cornerback Jamie Robinson, offensive lineman Jacquees Sorrells. So two really good pickups there for Will Muschamp. And I think, you know, they're borderline winners there on National Signing Day as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as for my two losers, Shane, already kind of touched on both of these teams, but Arkansas, biggest loser of National Signing Day. And that's because Odonis Ote, longtime Razorback commit, he announced he's going to USC. Chris Russell, who, you know, he's noted, John Chavis, Arkansas, was his first big offer. This is the guy that Tennessee, Texas A&M, they were after. Arkansas, I mean, they were sending coaches to this guy's either his house or his school or what have you, like week in, week out. This, he was only rated as a three-star, Chris Russell, but I think this is going to be one of the late gems of the 2019 class. He announced with Texas A&M, so they lost out on that guy. And then they also, like we mentioned before with Ole Miss, they lost Lakia Henry. So Arkansas just basically struck out across the board here with guys that weren't already committed to them. So that's just tough. That's just a tough day for Arkansas, but still they have a top 25 class coming off a 2-10 season. Still a great recruiting class overall. And Kentucky, man, I just feel bad for Kentucky because it seems like they find these guys and then big-time schools like Alabama, LSU come in and offer their guys late and steal them away. So, you know, National Signing Day is usually a good day for everyone, but just Arkansas and Kentucky, I think they left a little bit to be desired there on National Signing Day.
Oh, yeah. They should send the what's his name, old captain, you know, do some recruiting for him. This UK prosthetic eye, you know. I felt bad for him. I felt bad for Arkansas because, like you said, everything they swung at, it felt like they missed. But they did have a great early signing period. So you got to remember, this list that you did is just about today's signing period. So you've talked on South Carolina, a little bit Texas A&M, Arkansas, Kentucky. The ones you didn't mention was Mizzou. How'd they do? Did they do anything?
They're on probation, Shane. We don't talk about them. No, I'm just for National Signing Day, yeah, they were one of the ones that just kind of their class basically done. I mean, they did add, I know they added a former LSU player, I think, to the JUCO ranks, but nothing real big there. Mississippi State, another one. They got Nathan Pickering, who had been, you know, he'd been committed a long time. Javonte Payton also committed, held on to those two. So, you know, those were good, but also already committed. As for the others, you know, they're pretty much their classes. Vanderbilt class was already done. So just not a whole lot with those teams. And those, you know, when we were making fun of people that said signing day is kind of dull, it was for those teams. But for the rest of the SEC, plenty of drama. I still got a kick out of watching and writing and working all this stuff. I don't know. I guess maybe that's why some people are fans and some people are just casual fans. But obviously, you and I, Shane, pretty diehard SEC football fans.
Oh, dude, I will tell you, man, I was watching a lot of that National Signing Day stuff, and they had some good stuff. But one of the things that stood out to me was Pac-12. Is it Pac-12 or Pac-10?
Pac-12.
They were talking about how they're getting smaller. And what's crazy is, you know, the big guys that they do have out west, you know, these SEC teams have created these pipelines, and they're just pumping them out. So they say that, you know, that's one of the downsides of the pack is just – there's no big guys. So when they meet, you know, in big games, that's why they don't have a chance. So I just thought that was pretty cool. I noticed a lot of players from out west were signing out east. So I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, man, everybody wants to play in the SEC, Shane. No one wants to play in the soft Pac-12. Nope. And I can't really blame them.
Nope.
All right, Shane, I think that's all I've got for this National Signing Day Recruiting Show podcast roundup. You got anything before we hop off here?
No, that's about it, man. 3 days in a row. I thought that was awesome. My wife said, I thought you were just doing one or two. So I had explained what National Signing Day was. So that was cool. That was 10 minutes I'll never get back. But just kidding. I love you if you're listening. No, that's pretty much it, Mike. That will be it for the week. We'll be back, what, Monday or Tuesday? Is that what we're going to do? We're going to do back to 2 days a week next
yep.
week.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So just got to hope some news happens. I'm sure it will. But, you know, now that National Signing Day is in the rearview mirror, unfortunately, we're going to get into the dark, dark days of the offseason until spring football pops back up. But, you know, that always comes back before you know it. So I'm already looking forward to breaking down 2019 depth charts with you for the next 6 damn months.
I love it, man. I love it. So that's all I got, man. Appreciate all the listeners hanging out with us this week. And, you know, if you do got your little iPhone there, an iPhone review would be helpful. If not, who cares? We just like hanging out with you. We're going to put some... I know the Reddit page don't get a lot of love, but if you get on there, it's pretty neat. That SEC podcast, Mike's going to be posting some videos and things like that, pictures especially. That's really all I got, Mark.
All right, Shane, thanks for joining me as always. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We really appreciate it, and we'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols. You know, I was like, man, I'm on a show with Notre Dame, whatever his name is. Let me try that again. What's his name?
Nostradamus?
Nostradamus. It's easier to type than it is to say. we've kind of created this, what is it? It used to be in NCAA when you create what is the word I'm looking for? Like if you recruit somewhere in the same area,
pipeline?
A pipeline, yes. All right, let me try that again.